Y'all did a great job. Make some noise for our Bridge City student directors and volunteers and our Bridge City kids. Volunteers, they're phenomenal. Everybody did a phenomenal job. Listen, if I haven't had an opportunity to introduce myself yet officially, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and I'm so excited to be here with you. I'm so excited you decided to spend your Sunday morning here with us, and there's literally no place I'd rather be than right here with you all doing exactly that. And I'm so excited we all get to spend this morning together all in one room, just representing that this church is just as much the younger kids' church as it is the older kids' church and everybody in between. And by older kids, I mean the people that will never grow up, right? Age doesn't bring wisdom. It just brings another birthday. And I'm so excited that everybody gets to see that this is theirs. Jesus died on the cross so that we can all experience the joy that comes from being a part of his church. And today is a representation of that. I know it's a little bit different, but it brings welcome change. And one of the things that the kids do every single week in between, like at halftime of their worship experience, is they get snacks. So we're going to take a cue from them, and it's snack time. So the ushers are going to come around with snacks, and they're going to bring them around. So as they're making their way around, have them throw you some chips. If you want them thrown to you, just make sure you're going to catch them, okay? Oh, look, see, I got chips this time. They didn't give me chips last time. I didn't get any snacks during snack time. Okay? I didn't get any snacks. All right. There we go. It's snack time. I'm going to make it rain whenever it's done. I'm just taking that bushel and throwing it in the air. I'm just letting you know. It's going to be snack time. Here, let me have some. Let me have some Cheetos. You don't want no Cheetos? There we go. There's Doritos. There's Cheetos. Would you like some? There you go. Why not? Why not? There we go. Hi. You want some too? Go get them. The snacks are up there. All right, John. She wants some. All right. Is anybody not get snacks that need snacks? All right, John, make your way back. Make your way back. If at any point during our time and you need more snacks, just raise your hand. Or, listen, we're going to go through some rules. If you need a bathroom break, just raise your hand. We'll make sure to get in a single file line. We'll all go. Okay? All right, let's pray. We're going to try to get back into some sort of ordinance here and order. Lord, I thank you so much for the joy that we get to have for being a part of your church, Lord. God, I thank you that we get to be a part of this, Lord. God, I thank you that we have all been invited into your presence, and Lord, that the invitation has been accepted. And Lord, I thank you that we now get to extend that invitation to so many more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, listen, if you've heard me preach before, you know I like audience participation. If you've never heard me preach before, I like audience participation. So that's one of the rules of our family worship experience is we're all going to participate. One of the other rules that the kids always have is keep your hands to yourself. So make sure that you continue to do that as well. But I have a question for you right off the bat. How many of you have ever been invited to dinner before? Okay, almost everybody. So I was hoping that everybody would say yes, but how many of you have ever ate dinner? Okay, see, now we pretty much got everybody. Now, we're going to take it a step further. How many of you have actually ate dinner at a table? Yeah. Right, I know. There's some weird people that don't eat at tables, apparently, Levi. They just eat at the couch or something. I don't know. But listen, all of us are invited to a meal. And it's not at Plaza Azteca. Okay? Getting really expensive over there, okay? It's getting really expensive. But I want to read you a verse about some invitations that were extended at an important table that we all get to sit at. Now, sometimes you may feel as a kid or as a student or even as an adult sometimes that there's some things happening that you're not invited to. But that's not the kingdom. We all get to be invited, and we're all able to accept the invitation or push the invitation aside. So here, let's start at Mark 2, verse 13. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore and again taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi. Everybody say Levi.
Levi.
Say it louder.
Levi.
Levi's in the front saying, hi, everybody. Okay. Son of Alphaeus, sitting as at his tax collector's booth. Jesus said, follow me and be my disciple. So Levi got up and followed him. Now, I want to just pause there for a moment and talk a little bit about the disciples. I want to talk a little bit about the statement that Jesus made. I want to talk a little bit about this invitation. First and foremost, I want to talk about the disciples and their age. Because some of us in this room right now are a little bit older and we're a little bit inconvenienced because we are having family day and it's messy in here and it's louder than usual and there's snacks and there's loud music and there's dancing. All the disciples were young. A majority of them were under the age of 18. Peter was like an exception. He was a little bit older, and we know this because in Matthew, Jesus said, go and get pay the taxes for Peter and I. Because if you were over 20 years old, you had to pay taxes. Boring. So we know that he was over 20. But the other disciples weren't mentioned that they had to go do that. So we're not going to be inconvenienced at all. We're not going to think that just because somebody's younger, they can't do something, because Jesus saw a lot in young people. Jesus trusted a lot in young people. He grew the early church through young people. So all the young people that are sitting here right now, and I'm not just talking about age, I'm talking about everything in our lives. We might feel young in our faith. We might feel young in the things that we're being called to. We might feel young in our age, right? But that doesn't mean that Jesus sees that. He only sees what he's calling us to do and what he's calling out of us. Just as he saw when he made this invitation to Levi. So when he said to Levi, follow me, notice he didn't say, hey man, are you busy? Hey, if it's not an inconvenience, if you can find it in your time, if there's nothing going on today, if you're not sleepy, he just said, follow me and be my disciple. So what is a follower of Jesus? A follower is someone who is learning what it means to truly be a Christian. A follower is somebody who is changing because of the teacher and the teaching. Taking what they're hearing and putting it into action. I'm so excited about the students and the kids of Bridge City Kids that get to follow amazing teachers. I know that these teachers are making an impact in these children's lives because I get to see it in my own son's life. Miss Phyllis, who is up here with Morgan being an MC today, Lennon will do anything to be around Miss Phyllis and hear her speak. He loves when he sees his Bridge City Kids teachers out in the wild. Like, you know, when you're a kid and you see your teachers out in the wild, like, oh, they're allowed out. He saw her yesterday at the pool. And that was his whole goal. He needed to get to Miss Phyllis. She was in the deep end. The 5.5-foot land. And he was going to make it there. Just so he could be near one of his teachers. And then after he got there, he achieved something. But that's not just because Miss Phyllis is really cool. It's because she's making an impact in his life and the lives of so many other kids. And I'm so thankful for that. And following is a choice. Levi wasn't forced. The kids aren't forced. We've never said to Lennon or any of the other kids of Bridge City students or Bridge City kids, like, you have to follow Mrs. Phyllis or else. That's not following. That's forcing somebody to do something. We don't do that. Levi made a choice to follow. And that choice was not only going to change him, but it was going to change others. And it was also going to upset some people. And I want you to think about you for a moment. Your decision to follow Jesus, your decision to accept the invitation to be with him and in his presence and to follow him and to change some things of your life is going to upset some people. It's going to cause some people to have a reaction to you and to how you're walking in your life. Let's keep going. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of his kind, of this kind among Jesus' followers. Many people became followers of Jesus, and Jesus still to this day is in the follow me business. Jesus was in the business and is in the business of having people follow him that by the world standards don't look like people that would follow him. That's always been a prayer of mine for the White Oak campus. Ever since I was ordained as the campus pastor of this location of Bridge City Church, that this campus of Bridge City Church would be filled with people that by the world standards don't look like they belong in church. And guess what? After a little while, you start to look like you belong in church, and then it's your job to go get people that don't look like they belong in church. And it keeps going and going and going and going and going. I love when people say, I can't believe Nick's the pastor. I'm like, yeah, come and see. Come and check it out. It's pretty cool. 20 years of this almost, of me being in this church, 13 years of being at the campus, and 13 years of people being like, he goes to church? It's amazing that Jesus didn't ask the questions. What do you believe in me? And if it's not an inconvenience, will you follow me? Will you come? He just said, follow me. Be my disciple. Be with me. And then Levi started to catch on. He said, listen, I got a whole bunch of people that are around me that I'm going to start to invite to sit at your table. It's important for us to recognize that this table's been set so that more and more and more people can come and sit at it. But as Christians, sometimes we think, this is my seat. I'm sitting in it. Nobody else is sitting in this seat. Listen, that seat's not yours except for the moment that you're in it right now. It's somebody else's seat. You don't need a seat. You need to go get somebody to fill the seat. Let's keep going here. Like I said, your actions are going to start to tick people off. The things that you do in your life and starting to change some things, people are going to start to judge you. people are going to start to get frustrated that you're sitting at a table. Mark 2, verses 16 and 17. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" There are people in our lives that are going to be just like the Pharisees. Pharisee literally means separated ones. They separated themselves from everything that they thought was unholy. They separated themselves from everything that they thought was not of God. They separated themselves from everyone that they thought wasn't smart enough. They thought everyone except themselves was separated from the love of God. They thought the church was only for them. They thought that the church was not a resource to go and bring people in. It was a resource to keep closed off for themselves. But the reality of Jesus' church is so beautiful that it's for those that are nothing like the Pharisees. It's for those that are far from God. It's for those that are broken and need a meal, need invited to be placed at the table, need to know that there's a seat for them, that there's a place for them. When Jesus heard that there were people getting angry about the company that he was keeping, the people he was hanging around, the people he was having meals with, this was his response. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. Listen, I have a question for everybody here today. Would you ever call an ambulance just because you needed a ride to the grocery store? You could use your own car, or maybe if you didn't have a car, you'd use an Uber or Lyft or something like that. Or if you have a bicycle, you have a skateboard. Skateboard. Listen, skateboards scare me. Yeah. Roller skates? Like what? Now, what kind of roller skates are we talking here? Are we talking roller blades or four wheel? Scooter. Now, listen. I have a story about a scooter-esque thing. Lennon has a one wheel, and it is the most humbling thing I've ever got on in my life, and I will never get on it again because I had to grab onto Chuck for dear life, and I said, don't let go of me, and I had to jump off of it. It's scary. But listen, I almost had to call an ambulance for that, but I have a question for you. Do you go to the hospital just because you want to go and pay an exorbitant amount of money for a Band-Aid? You only go to a hospital, into the emergency room, via an ambulance, if you're really sick, if you're really in need of getting fixed. Listen, Jesus didn't die on the cross and ask for the Holy Spirit to fall upon his people so that the church can grow over and over and over and over and over again, just so that we could open our doors for people to come in and feel comfortable. It's so that broken people could get put back together and then go outside into the world and get more broken people so that he can put them back together over and over and over and over and over and over again. And kids, you are the ones that are going to get used to do that more and more and more, because that's who Jesus used to do it. Teenagers, He used teenagers to grow his church. I know most of you in the front row were 6, 7, 8 years old. You're almost 9. I skipped 9. I grew out of kids' ministry. There's a reason. There's a reason. Yes. Do you have... You were at Home Depot, you jumped off the cart, you fell on the floor? Yeah. I did that once. Okay, go ahead. You're almost 6? Yeah? That's awesome. Congratulations. You need any more snacks? The front row good? You all good? Okay. In a few days you're 9? Yeah. How about you, Kurt? Let's hear from the second row. You're 12. He's 12. He's 12. He's 12. He's going to be moving to 6th or 7th grade. He got held back. Okay. Once we realize in this place that Sunday's not for those who think that they're righteous and have it all together, but this place is for people that know that they need God. Once we catch that this place is open on Sunday for people that need forgiveness, that need love, that need to meet the real Jesus, it changes things. Listen, it's easy for us to forget the good news of Jesus and that it's for everyone once we've received it. It's easier for us to forget how good it is. Listen, there's an illustration of being sick and you think that everything in the world has stopped. You got front row. You guys are my rock stars here. You ever had a cold? Okay. You've had a cold? No colds? You've had a cold? You've had 10 colds. You've had so much colds.
Like around January,
February. That's cold season. You had cold too in winter. Okay. How about this row? Any colds? 20 colds? Okay. You had a cold once? Listen, buddy, I'm going to tell you about something. You're going to grow into getting man colds, and they're worse than any other cold ever. Yeah. Because we're guys. We get colds worse. Okay, your daddy will tell you about them. Okay, when we get colds, we shut down. Yeah? You've had a couple of colds? Okay, yes, a couple of sniffles? Okay, now whenever you're sick, what do you want to do? Rite Aid's closed, bankrupt. You can't pick another place. Yeah. Another pharmacy shop? CVS? CVS? Walgreens. Walgreens. We're going to Walgreens. So when you're sick, you go to Walgreens to get what? Why do you go get medicine? So you can get better. And then after you take your medicine, you get better, and you're what? Happy, right? Now, when I was a kid, I would be sick when school was on, and then once school was over, I was healed. Anybody else like that? Yeah? You started to feel better around Price is Right. Man. All right? But here we go. Listen, I did this because this is the same thing. This is like Walgreens. The church is the place that people need to come whenever they're sick to feel better so that they can then go out in the world and tell everybody about it. Yeah. Once again, Rite Aid closed. Not all of them, but some of the... Yeah, it's closed. It's closed. They're done. Okay. We're going to go back to verse 17. and then we're going to start landing the plane. Every single week, we send the kids home with a memory verse, right? You guys have a memory verse? So we're going to send everybody home with a memory verse today. You ready? All right. This is our memory verse. And when you do a memory verse, if you're anything like me, you have to say it out loud to remember it. I'm a visual learner, but if I say things out loud and repeat them, I remember them better. So this is how we're going to do today's memory verse. I'm going to say when, and then you all are going to read the remainder of the verse. We go with the instructions thus far? Yes? Okay. So I'm going to say when. Everybody say then. We're going to read. You're so confused right now. You're like, why are we saying this? All right, here we go. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to say when, and then you guys are just going to send it. Full send, okay? And I want you to say it loud and proud. Ready? One, two, three. When? You guys did really good, and I'm gonna bring kudos to the front row here, some of the Bridge City kids. They read the book and the location in the book, which the first worship experience did not do. Okay? That's great. We're gonna do it again. Now, this time we're gonna use what the punctuation tells us to do. Okay, so we're gonna do it even more succinct, okay? So when we read, when Jesus heard this little thing right here, this is a comma. So that's like a small pause, okay? Everybody say small pause. He told them, another small pause. Then we have the healthy people don't need a doctor. Now, this is where people got hung up at the first worship experience. This hyphen. Like, what do we do here? It's a little bit of a longer pause, okay? And then we go in with sick people do. Like, you want some emphasis there. Cool? Then, period. Longer pause than a comma, because it's a double space, okay? Then we're going to go full send until this comma, and then we're going for it. We ready? All right, here we go. On three. One, two, three. When? You did a great job. Everybody, give yourselves a round of applause. Now I want to talk to the people that are sitting at the table right now that know that they were invited to sit at the table and they know that they're sinners and they know that they need some help, but they've never fully accepted it. You're sitting at the table because you know you needed to change some things. You know you were invited. You know you've been invited over and over and over and over and over again. But today was the day you finally decided, listen, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. And I'm going to see what this is all about. And I want to talk to you about having a seat at that table and where it's going to move us to. Jesus is offering a freedom that only he can provide. freedom from our past, a freedom from our hurts, a freedom from our habits, a freedom from any hang-up that's kept us stuck in life. Jesus' message and this invitation was not just for a few, it was for everyone. Those who were far from God, those who have been beat up by life, those who have been judged by the world, those who have been told that they'd never amount to anything by the world's standards, all of it. Those who have stolen, those who have been stolen from. Jesus invited us all to sit at the same table. And he didn't create his church for healthy people. He created it for sick ones to get healed and continue to walk in that healing so that others could receive it. So listen, if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place where you fully received the freedom that comes from accepting what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, I want today to be your day. July 6th, 2025. Let today be your day that you fully accept the seat at the table because it's been set for you. And if you don't have that day, that time, that place, I want you to do one of the bravest things you'll ever do, but one of the best things you'll ever do. And this is for everyone in the room. Let's just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. I don't have that place that I've repented of my past and received your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone at all today? Thank you, God. Anyone else? Anyone else today? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you've given all for all of us. Lord, we don't get any special treatment for accepting at different times of our lives or being better in this area or worse in this area. Lord, you paid the same price for each of us. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you that the same invitation was given to each and every one of us. And God, I thank you for all of those who have accepted that invitation and are now inviters. And Lord, I pray for more and more people to accept it. Lord, we praise you. We bring all honor and all glory to your name. May you continue to pour out your blessings upon every single person that makes up your church here at Bridge City Church. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.